Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's rivals.
I'm the
Bible. I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right. Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Michelle. I'm one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have school locations located in Norfolk, Virginia, Houston, Texas, Rochester, New York, San Antonio, Texas, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Like again, thank y'all for tuning into the show this morning. As you know, we have normally on Tuesdays, we do Telespot Tuesdays. If you got the show yesterday, it was very enlightening. You know, Telespot likes to really go into his classes or his shows with what's going on in the news, with current events in the news. Then gets to a class. Yesterday was very enlightening. I really enjoyed yesterday's class. I mean, it hit me. I mean, it really hit me in some of the things he was bringing out. And he didn't even get a chance to finish the whole class. It was something else. What we're doing here in Albuquerque is we've been having class with the brothers here, but as you know, we work for LMH, HPO Deliveries. Costco deliveries, here in the Albuquerque area. And sometimes that can extend all the way up into Colorado, Arizona, as well as northern New Mexico. And our work day does start at 5:30 in the morning, and we pretty much the house is pretty much shut down by 9:30, even 10, because of our schedule and the demands that it takes. But we do have class with everybody every day. So one thing we're in the midst of right now is trying to get back to our schedule of having daily blog talks starting in the mornings, where we can go ahead and get for the brothers that are off, because we have a floating schedule. We want to go ahead and get them in class in the mornings, so they might have the afternoons and the evenings to take care of whatever personal business they may need to take care of as they prepare for the work day. So forgive us if you haven't heard my voice or heard us for a minute. Not to be out of sight or out of mind, but we're definitely still teaching. We're definitely still pushing. We definitely still want to get out of here in our pursuit of trying to wake up the 144,000 so all the whole nation can finally be saved. We are definitely not going to get away from that. That is embedded in us for real, okay? So I was in the midst of getting a few scripts together. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. All right, I'm back there. I had to get that out the way. All right, cool. One thing I do want to go over, I'm not sure where my two readers went. Well, I don't know where one reader went. He went to go find the other reader as far as Izan and Jaleel this morning. But it's all good. It's all good. One thing we wanted to go over Bible basics and get some of these basic Bible topics. And a challenge that we have for the young men here in Albuquerque right now is when I first came into truth, when I first came into the knowledge back in 1989, my very first teacher's name is Abanazar. Right? Very great man. I'm indebted to this man. One thing he had us doing, we were in the military, we were in the Navy. The Navy constructed CBs, which is construction unit that does construction for the Navy on battlefields. A lot of the times we're attached with the Marines, and we're the first ones going into combat with them, and we help build their bases and build whatever they might need for combat as far as their berthing, their housing, or what have you, their huts, airports, or what have you. So it was a very demanding and grueling schedule that we were on. But one thing Abanazar guided us into was we should, from Isaiah 34:16. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that now. Let me pull, as my eyes are getting older. Let me go ahead and pull that scripture up real quick. The book of Isaiah. I can quote it, but I want to go ahead and read it. Is Isaiah chapter 34. And verse 16. I'm trying to get back y'all into actually reading the printed Bible, not just the electronic Bible on our phones, what have you, our tablets, but actually getting back into reading the written word, the printed word. So I've got a soft cover Bible with the extra large print, and thanks to the brother the Hayama. He got me they do sell large print apocryphas also. Right? Large print apocryphas are also available on Amazon if you look it up. And they're only like $15 too, so that's a great purchase. But just want to get back to the actual reading of the actual word, and not just electronics. So in Isaiah 34:16 it reads, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. With my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them." So behind that scripture right there where it says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." One thing Obama's had directed us into at that time, again, back in 1989, I was 19 years old. I'm 51 years old this year. One thing he directed us into was we need to read the Bible once every 3 months, right? That was one thing that was really encouraged in us to do and we were really encouraged to really get that done and that challenge would happen. So in that, reading the Bible, seeking out the book of the Lord and reading, we should have the Bible read every 3 months, going through the whole Bible. And it was something that we accepted. It was something that I accepted. I was happy to endeavor into going into this this challenge, if you will. And I didn't call it a challenge because it was our book. I know when I first came into the knowledge, and for back then, it was really eye opening and really appealing. And it wasn't common knowledge that Christ was black or that any of the people of the Bible were black. We definitely had black movements, quote unquote black movements going on, as far as, you know, the Muslims or Black Panthers, Public Enemy, X-Clan, Paris. We definitely had those that type of music or mentality, even a militant mentality. But to come back and realize and understand that the Bible was actually for black people, written by black people, to black people. And the thing that really just had me just on the floor was that Jesus Christ himself, the Savior, was actually black. I mean, that just had me on the floor that, you know, from going to church all the years I went to church, every Sunday, and now to find out that not only was, you know, being pro-black, but to find out that the people of the Bible were actually black also, that blew me away. Again, that really just had me, I mean, that just had my mind blown. And one thing I was curious about was, damn, if they lied to me about the color of Christ, what else did they lie about? So the one to get the Bible and read, again, it wasn't even a challenge when the Barnes gave it to us. It wasn't even a second thought. It was a hell yeah. I mean, if they lied to us about the color of Christ, what else have they lied about? And you look at Calvin's room. Calvin's room.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was, what else have they lied to us about? You know, for to come back and see that again, the people of the Bible were people of color. What day the Sabbath is, that the Sabbath it was actually so-called Friday sundown, the Saturday sundown, and not Sunday, that had me completely blown away. And I was curious. I just wanted to know, what else had they lied to me about? And then I also realized how I didn't know the Bible. And one thing that was presented was, how can you know God if you don't know the Bible? And that, again, these were some of the questions and some of the things that were posed to me that really just was, you know, eye-opening. It really was like, wow, yeah, how can I know God if I don't know if I don't know his word? How can I know that the thoughts that come to my mind are his thoughts? How can I even know the dreams that I have are sent from him? I know Joseph was a dreamer. I remember hearing that in Sunday school. But how do I know that the dreams I have were actually sent from the Most High, that is actually inspired by the Most High? How do I know that the thoughts I have of doing this, that this is right? You know, one thing that people grow up with is a person grows up knowing right from wrong automatically. And you know, I was a believer in that saying that a person just knows right from wrong. But then again, it was posed to me then, if a person grows up knowing right from wrong, then why do we have child safety caps on bleach or medicine? Why are the child safety latches on cabinet drawers or what have you? If you already automatically grew up knowing right from wrong, then why do you have to have these things? Why are these things in place? Because obviously you don't grow up knowing right from wrong. And you grow up with morals and grow up with a standard that's given to you by your parents, and again, not maliciously, not in trying to maliciously or cruelly hurt a person, that they're really doing the best they can. But our morals and our standards are given by our parents. And I got Jalil here with me now. We get Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. I'm going to ask the brother to read this for me. And you might, y'all got to come closer because I have to use my phone for the mic. There's an echo. So you can just move everything on over. And again, as get ready to read this, that our standard of what's right, what is right or what's wrong, a person does not just grow up knowing right from wrong. You know, even as I have given it to have Jalil read Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, we know that Proverbs 22 and 10 says, train the child in the way he should go, and when they depart, they should, when they grow old, they should not depart. So to come back now and put some of these things that the Bible is actually saying, again, it really had my mind open like, damn, let me just read this first. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And it says, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of the Most High.
And that's one thing that had me again. We do err because we don't know the scriptures. And again, when they came back and showed me, you know, as much as yeah, the two major Christian holidays, Christmas and Easter, where everything in the world is shut down, you would think that you could find these two events in the Bible, that you could find the Santa Claus in the Bible. You can find where there was presents left under a tree. You can even find Christ's birth, proving that December 25th was his birthday. We're going to go back through the Bible and actually read Jeremiah 10, where the Lord says, don't decorate a tree. Don't cut down a tree and decorate it and set it up and worship it. It says it flat out. Don't do it. It's like, wow. So for a lot of people that think that if I go to Christmas, like if I honor Christmas and Christ's birth, I'm doing something that's good. But I do err, not knowing the scriptures. Then for Easter, you know, to get your Easter suit or what have you, when you go to church, and these are times of the year you got to make sure you go to church, Easter and Christmas, that they'll come back now and find out and see that a rabbit laying eggs had absolutely nothing to do with Christ's resurrection. And at no time, not only the resurrection, at no time did Jesus celebrate his birthday. No time it was his birthday ever celebrated, except for when he was actually born, the King of the Jews. We do read about that, but you don't read repeatedly after that that they can, every year there was a celebration and they came to a tree, put the star on top of the tree as they decorated and brought presents to it every year at his birth. You don't read about that. That's nowhere in the scriptures. You don't read about nowhere where Christ on his resurrection directed the disciples and the believers and those first Christians to now get some eggs and decorate them and then give credit to a rabbit that lays eggs. We never, ever, that's nowhere in the Bible. So for all the things that I thought that I was doing correct or doing right or proper, to come back now and read the scriptures and then to read what Christ actually said out of his mouth. And that's why, again, I want to get back into the printed word and not just the using my electronic Bibles on any of my devices, but actually getting back into actually reading the word again, reading the Bible, the actual hard print Bible. If I'm going to ask you to read this one more time, tell them where you're at, please.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
So we do err. We keep making mistakes and not knowing scriptures. Come back now and understand that there's a lot that's been hid from us. There's a lot that's been kept away from us on purpose, deliberately, so that now when it comes to God, and it comes to God's righteousness and what God calls right, what God calls wrong, that a lot of us continue to make errors because we don't know the scriptures, because we really don't know the Bible. And then give me Acts 17:11, I believe that is. Acts 17:11. I might have to check this just to make sure. Give me one second. I'm still here. Still here. Give me one second. Yeah, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. All right?
Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
It says that there was disciples in Thessalonica. It said these were even more noble than those in Thessalonica. And we know we have the book of Thessalonians, but it said that these particular brothers and sisters and families were more noble. They were esteemed higher in the eyes of God than even those saints and brothers and sisters that were in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Their minds were ready to receive the word of God. And again, as I was looking at these things and considering these things and these things being shown, that is my mind really ready to get into the Bible and the word of God, or am I still just going by my own thoughts, my own dreams? Am I going by the morals and standards and righteousness that my mom and dad set up, that my grandparents set up, that my friends set up? Or am I really going by what God says is right and what God says is wrong? So it says that these were more noble in the eyes of God than those that were in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Their minds was ready to receive what the Bible says. Read on.
And search the scriptures daily.
And what made them more noble than the saints that were in Thessalonica?
And search the scriptures daily.
And that they searched the scriptures daily. And that, again, these are some of the things that blew my mind away, because I was used to going to church, growing up in a Baptist church, and every Sunday. Every Sunday, we get to a big church. When I was going to a little kid, going to a little kid's church, and we allowed to go to the big kid's church. And we'd be in there, and there'd be some hymns sung, there'd be some prayers made, and then the pastor would get up and basically go over about three scriptures, took about an hour, and that would be it. And then we'd have another prayer, take up another offering. Then there'd be the altar call for those who want to come and get their lives over to God. We'd be released. We'd be released. Almost like being released from jail. But we only went over scriptures, maybe three scriptures a week, if we went to Sunday church. There might have been a Bible study on like a Wednesday, in a lot of churches, a Bible study on Wednesday. But that was mostly, if it was kids or young adults, it was songs. It was more of a social event. It wasn't an actual Bible study. It wasn't us getting into the actual book, getting dictionaries, encyclopedias, and actually doing a study. It was a social event. We're going to show how Christians rock and Christians are cool, and we're down for Christ, and we're going to sing songs and put on puppet shows and what have you. But to actually study the Bible, to actually get into the Bible and study what it was saying, that wasn't done. And to see here that you had people in the Bible that they were esteemed more noble, but why? Because they searched the scriptures daily. We can read again from the top, please, sir.
Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Those were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so.
And then they searched the scriptures daily to find out the truth. They really wanted to know if they were really serving the word, serving God, by searching the scriptures daily. And then let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. So when my first teacher, Abanazar, had gave us this thing that we should have the Bible read every 3 months, that was something, again, it wasn't a chore for me. That wasn't a burden. That wasn't what the hell? Why? I got these. It was, hold up, what is in this book that I don't know? And I'm thinking, like, you know, but the very first Bible class I went to with Abanazar, I walked in the room, and I got kicked off the island of Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, for some just juvenile things I got in trouble for. And I got kicked off the island of Cuba and had to go to Puerto Rico, where our main unit was at. So I'm in Puerto Rico. And that very first night, I knew I had to get my life back over to God. I knew that, that the life I had started living, according to what the church says, that I was away from Jesus. I hadn't been to church on a Sunday in Lord knows how long. Many Sundays was hangovers and drinking and partying or what have you. And I was just I stopped praying. Everything that a good Christian is supposed to be doing, I had stopped. I had completely stopped. So in that first night back in Puerto Rico, I let a man who became like my older brother, who and we delved into the party scene pretty heavy together. He really gave me a lot of my first experiences in clubbing and drinking and what have you. I let him know I couldn't do that. That I couldn't leave that lifestyle no more. I couldn't do it. I had to give my life back over to Christ. And he said, you know what? No problem. No problem, bro. But before you do that, give me one more night. I'm like, I owe that to you. You really were like a big brother to me. You took me under your wing. You protected me. You sheltered me. You guided me through a lot of things. I can give that to you. That's no problem. I'm thinking that that night we was going to go just one more night of heavy clubbing, probably get into a fight or two, definitely get drunk, and as a farewell. That first night we walked into a barracks room, and walking into that barracks room, some brothers. It was all brothers in this room. And when I left, before I left for Cuba, I was around our main unit. And some of these men that were in this room, they kind of had beef with one another. There was tension amongst everybody. So I walk in the room, and I was kind of shocked seeing everybody in the room. I'm like, man, what's going on here? You know, came in, gave my daps and everything, said what's up, everybody, you know, talking, chopped up a little bit. And they start talking the Bible. And, I mean, again, me growing up in a Baptist church, I'm like, okay, I know God. I know the Bible. So in my mind, literally, the words in my mind was, what y'all niggas going to show me? I didn't say it to them, obviously, but that was in my mind. Like, what y'all niggas going to show me? Y'all ain't going to show me anything. And, again, we got to the color of Christ, and that blew me away. It really did. Blew me completely away. So, again, to come back now and be given the – and he didn't even make it an assignment. Let me make that statement. He didn't even make it an assignment. He just suggested y'all should have the Bible read once every 3 months. I'm like, say no more. Because I really wanted to know what is it I don't know. Because, again, I came in with a sense of pride and arrogancy that I know the Bible, I know God already. So what you going to show me? What you going to show me? But to come back and see that there were people who studied the Bible every day. They read the Bible every day. That was mind-boggling. They really were getting into the Word of God every day. It wasn't a burden. It wasn't a chore. It wasn't an assignment. So then, to read this now for me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God.
And again, to read these words out of the Bible, we have to study to show ourselves approved to God. And, you know, in studying, I grew up in an era, in an age where if there was a word you didn't know, you were told to go look it up. Before there was Google, and what was it, Siri, Google, or what have you, you actually had to go to the Bible or go to a library or an encyclopedia, get a dictionary, and actually look up words. So I'm going to do that real quick. I'm going to go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and I'm going to look up the word study. I'm going to go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I'm going to type in the word study. I don't like that right now. I'm going to go to the Webster's Dictionary of 1828. That was Webster's very first dictionary. And believe it or not, he actually put the Merriam-Webster Dictionary together for you to study the Bible. That you might understand Bible words. That's why he put the very first dictionary that he put together so we might understand Bible words. So the word study, from Merriam-Webster's 1828 dictionary. Study. I'm going to ask Jalila to read that for me.
Says, literally, a setting of mind or thoughts upon a subject hence.
It says, literally, what?
A setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject hence.
You have to put your mind or your thoughts on a subject. You have to actually put your mind or thoughts on a subject. Go ahead.
Application of mind of book.
Application of
Books.
Of books. This is what it means to study. Go ahead.
To art or science or any subject. For the purpose of learning what is not known. Oh, sorry. For the purpose of learning what is not before known.
For the what is not known. And again, that definition blew me away. And the purpose of studying is to go find out what you don't know. Not to keep going over what you think you know. The purpose of studying every day is to go find out what you don't know. And again, these are some of the things that really, really, really just blew my mind. That really just had my mind just blown like, wow. I'm supposed to be reading this Bible so I can find out the things that I don't know. Christ said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. So in now give me Isaiah, Isaiah 9:16. Now let's get to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 16.
Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 16. For the leaders of this people caused them to err.
And again, when I come back and look at this, it said the leaders of our people caused us to err. Christ already said the reason why we err is because we don't know the scripture. So in high school, and again, I'm showing my age. I already told how old I was. Back in high school, though, here in Albuquerque, before you could graduate, you had to write a term paper. You had to do a research paper. And there were so many subjects that were available to do your research on, and you had to really literally write a research paper. You had to show a bibliography, which is where you got your facts from, where you got your information from. I believe it had to be at least 15 pages long. It could be double spaced. The font couldn't be above 11, I believe, at the time. And you had to actually go and do research. And I went against the grain a little bit. And one of the subjects that was offered that we could do our term paper on, research paper on, was Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, one of the founders of the he's the one who wrote the German Bible. He translated the scriptures from Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into German. And it's from his translation where a lot of the English Bibles came from, was from his translation of the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into German. And then Martin Luther is credited with starting the Protestant Reformation, that he's the one who really, really protested against the Catholic Church. And actually reading the Bible, and again, translating the Bible into German, you see that there was a lot of things that was wrong in the Catholic Church. And he protested against them, and that's where the word Protestant comes from, the Protestant Church. From thence, you have Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses. And they all these had their beginnings after Martin Luther's protest that the Catholic Church was going against the Word of God, and the Catholic Church they was trying to put him to death. The Pope was actually trying to put him to death because he was right. He was right that what the religion compared to the Word of God was two totally separate things, and the Catholic Church by the time was so corrupt. They was getting over like fat rats. A lot like today, they was getting over. They had lands, monies, committing adultery, robbery, murders. They was going totally against the Word of God, totally against the Word of God. So Martin Luther came up with the Protestant Reformation. That was one of the subjects offered for us to go ahead and do our research paper on. But I decided I wanted to do Martin Luther King. I wanted to do it off of a black man. And at the time, I considered a hero. Because that was what was presented to me. that, you know, it was during a time when they was just starting to fight for the legislation of giving a national holiday to a black man. And the first black man to get a national holiday was Martin Luther King. Not Crispus Attucus, who was the very first person killed in the War of Independence with England, between England and America. Again, a true patriot or what have you. But or Nat Turner, who was fighting for the freedom of his people, of slaves. But Martin Luther King, a peaceful protester. So I went to war with my English teacher at the time, and even with the principal, and I won. I was able to go ahead and do my report on Martin Luther King. Again, the reason I'm bringing all this up is that to study, I thought I knew God. I thought I knew the Bible. But when you come back and read 2 Timothy 2:15, it says the purpose of studying is to learn something you don't know. That's the purpose of studying. Not to go ahead, I just read the book like, okay, I already know this. Okay, I already know this. Okay, I know this already. But the purpose of going into the book daily, studying daily to find out those things you don't know about God, to really get into what God says as opposed to what man says. And again, I was a real proponent for Martin Luther King. But then now I come back into the Bible and the scriptures and read Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and how God talks about the dreamer of dreams is going to be put to death because he's turning God's people away from him. Again, another thing had me on the floor, like, oh my God. This man was a hero in my eyes. But then I come back now and see what God said about a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that's turning God's people away from God. Again, these are some of the things that blew me away. So what else is in this Bible that I don't know? What else about God is that I don't know? Well, this is why this was written. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Study. Go read and find out something you don't know. And to do this daily. Read.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
So that now, the work you're doing, you can make sure you're doing the right work. Because a lot of people have put a lot of diligence, a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into upholding their what they believe are morals, their standards of righteousness, their standards of good. To find out when you actually read the Bible, it's all wrong. It's 180 degrees opposite of God. It's 180 degrees opposite of what God really wants. But if you're not studying to find out what you don't know, to correct what you might be doing wrong, you're gambling with yourself. You're gambling with your life. And then don't become a parent like what our parents did. Are you going to continue now to now train your children and not knowing the Bible? Are we going to break this cycle? Or are we going to continue this cycle of just passing down what we believe to be morally right or morally correct? But again, it's 180 degrees opposite of God. And that was one thing, again, it scared me. That's one of the things that fueled my passion. Let me read. Let me read. Let me read every day. That this that there's if you can watch a movie and come back and watch the movie again, every time you watch the same movie, you get something new out of the movie. How much more the Word of God then? If you can watch a movie about the Avengers, and every time you watch the movie, you find another, they call them Easter eggs. You find another hint, another clue, another something. Every time you watch the movie that you didn't catch before, then how much more the Word of God? How much more is in this Word of God that you didn't get, that you don't know, that you're wrong? All because we're not studying. So now the work I'm doing can be approved. That the effort, the work that I'm really putting in, it's the right effort. It's the right work. It really is the right way of doing things in the eyes of God. It says the word that needed not to be ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing. the word of truth. I'm the word of truth, not the word of my thoughts, not the word in my head, not my opinion, but rightly dividing the word of God. So with that, again, with some of the young men we have here in Albuquerque right now, it's been put forth to them that they should have the Bible read in 3 months, and that if the average, including the apocrypha, that would average out to, if you read 16 chapters a day for 3 months, you will have read the whole entire Bible and the apocrypha if you average 16 chapters a day. If you do a minimum of 16 chapters a day, you will have the whole Bible read in 3 months. So that's one of the things that the men here in Albuquerque, the young men in Albuquerque are working on, just getting a background. Because a lot of people, they come into this knowledge, they still have not read the Bible all of it through one time, but they feel they know God. They feel they know the Most High. You can't even, how can you even date somebody and all you do is met them one time and you know everything about them? Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. Obviously, that's not a correct, proper way of looking at things. But people want to apply that same thing to the Bible. I don't feel like studying. I'm not going to study. I'm not going to get into the book. But somehow I feel that my thoughts are correct. I think that how I'm putting things together is correct. And in reality, you're wrong. You're wrong. So with that, let's go to, and some of the time we have remaining left, let me look at the time in the time check. It is 30 minutes. So let's go to Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And Brother Jalil, can you read that for me, please?
Chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of the Most High.
And again, this is one of the scriptures that blew me completely away. Growing up in church or with a real religious background, a real false background, the thinking or thought that in serving God, everything's supposed to become easy. That in serving God, that it, almost like a genie in a bottle type of situation, that now that I've got the Bible or whatever, that now everything in my life is supposed to be just roses, just cherries, just completely just easy. To come back now and realize in reading the scriptures and in studying that the way you confirm, and I'm asking, do you have your a dictionary on your phone?
Yeah.
We're going to look at some of these words in scripture here in doing a Bible study. We're going to look up the word confirm. Again, this from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Well, we're in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Okay. No problem.
Acts chapter 14, confirm, the definition of confirm. To make firm or more firm, to add strength to strengthen as.
All right, so the first part said what now?
To make firm.
So it says confirming the souls of the disciples. So to make or to firm the souls of the disciples, to make the souls of the disciples stronger, to make the ones who are really following Christ, to make their spirits stronger, to make their spirits more firm. Anything else for confirm?
To fix more firmly, to settle or establish.
To settle or establish the souls of Christ's disciples, the ones who are really following Christ, confirming the souls of the disciples, and yeah, anyone for confirm?
Any else that works?
Add strength.
Ooh.
Adding strength to the souls of the disciples. If this is supposed to be an easy journey, why would you need to make more strength? Why would you need to make somebody's soul more firm? If this was supposed to be an easy journey, to challenge what the church and religion had taught compared to what the Bible's actually saying, it really, really, really had me up late at night. It really had my mind boggled. Like, how many millions, if not billions, of people are following religion, and the whole thing they're doing it for is to find an easy way out. But if you're truly a disciple of Christ, we know the word disciple means a student. If you're really a student of Christ, then how do you get your spirit stronger? How do you get your spirit more firm, your soul more firm? And it says exhorting. We don't use the word exhort now.
Exhort, to incite by word or advice.
Ooh, to incite by words or advice. How do you get your spirit stronger?
To incite by words or advice.
That you incite your spirit with words or advice. Whose words, whose advice? The Most High, the Scriptures. And again, this is for who? The disciples of Christ. Those who have made themselves a student and a follower of Christ. The true meaning of a Christian. That you're truly following Christ. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them
to incite by words or advice.
To incite their soul by words or advice. What else?
Even as you got. It's cool. To animate or urge by argument to a good deed to any.
I like that. To animate or what?
Or urge by argument.
Or urge by arguments. If this is going to be easy, why do you got to argue with somebody? Because what their mind's telling them as opposed to what the truth is going to be two different things. What they think is morally right or cool or acceptable, and as we go through the scriptures, you find out, no, that's not correct. No, that's wrong. So that we have to strengthen your spirit with the words of God, not, again, a dream, a thought, somebody who it seems like they have your best interest at heart, but they don't know the scriptures. They don't know the word of God. To be able to give you, you need these scriptures. This is what this scripture says. This is what this scripture says. Okay, you're thinking like this, but that thinking is not correct. And it might take an argument. But this is how you get your spirit strengthened. What else you got, Jalil?
To warn.
To warn. How do you strengthen a disciple of Christ's spirit? You warn them. You give them the words of God. You warn them, sis, bruh, babe. I understand you're thinking this way, but this is what the Bible says. I know you see it this way, but this is what the scripture says. I'm just trying to warn you that if you continue down that path, that's not pleasing to the Most High. Let me show you. Let's sit down in this book, and let me give you some scripture to show you that what you're doing is incorrect. And I know you have a passion for it. I know you feel it deeply in your bones, but it's wrong. And this is why it's wrong. It's not just your opinion versus my opinion. This is what the Bible says. This is what the words of God actually say. What did you got out?
It says to advise, to caution.
To caution. Go ahead.
That's it.
Cool. So it's confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Reading on from there. In Acts 14:22,
it says, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
And again, what's our faith supposed to be based off of? The word of God. Do you really believe in the word of God? That's what our faith is supposed to be based off of. A lot of people say they believe in God, but when it comes to now doing the words of God, there's fear. There's doubt. There's hesitation. That for whatever the word of God is saying goes against what I already think is right. It goes against what I already have said in my mind about how I'm going to do things. It says, if you're going to continue in faith, we're supposed to continue in the faith that the Bible is the word of God. And that the scriptures are going to show us the right way of doing things when it comes to the Most High, when it comes to God, when it comes to Christ. And then it goes on to say that, and that we must do what?
And it says, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of the Most High.
Let's look up tribulation and see what we got. And you can start from the very top there.
Tribulation, to thrash, to beat, severe affliction.
Okay. So the disciples of Christ, the ones following Christ, are going to be thrashed, beaten, and what else did they say?
Severe affliction.
That the disciples of Christ are going to go through severe affliction. It's going to be a challenge. But now, if you're not keeping the words of God, the words of Christ in your head, how can you strengthen your soul? If you're not taking Christ's advice, when the severe affliction comes up, when the thrashing comes up, when certain things come up, your spirit's not going to be strong enough to handle what's going on because you don't have the words of Christ in your head at that time. So you have whatever emotion you're going through, whatever emotion might be from the environment you're in. All these type of things are hitting you, but what is not hitting you? The words of Christ, the scriptures, to strengthen your spirit that, okay, I'm being faced with this severe affliction, but the words of Christ let me know this is the proper way of doing it. As a student of Christ, this, how did Christ handle this type of affliction? How did Christ handle this type of sacrifice? How did Christ handle this type of pressure? And if that's how Christ handled it, and if I'm following Christ, then if I do it Christ's way, in the eyes of God, I'm doing it the right way. But there's going to be a war. There's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a challenge of how do I know that this is the right way of doing it? Well, what did Christ give us to strengthen your spirit to know that this is the right way of doing things in the face of affliction, in the face of adversity? The scriptures, the word of God, that we should be doing what? Searching out daily. Am I challenging my thoughts to know that my thoughts are the right thoughts or the wrong thoughts? According to the word of God, what am I using as my measure to let me know my thinking is right or proper when it comes to the Most High? Well, if I'm his disciple, I'm going to be faced with choices. I have a choice to make. Now, whichever choice I make, I'm going to be responsible for. Am I using the word of God to make the right choice in the eyes of the Most High? Or is there another standard I'm using to where now I'm not following Christ, I'm following myself. I'm following this. I'm following that. So, again, for tribulation, we have what?
It says severe affliction, distresses of life.
Oh, my goodness. It said what?
Distresses of life.
Distresses of life. If I'm a disciple of Christ, what am I going to be faced with?
Distresses of life.
Distresses of life. that there's going to be a lot of stress in my life to test me. Am I going to follow Christ to get through this distress? Or am I following another way to get through this distress? Remember, the Most High told Moses to Israel what? Choose you this day, life or death. Every day we're faced with choices. In the distresses and the things that come up, which choice am I making? Am I making the right choice when it comes to the Most High? Or am I making the wrong choice daily when it comes to the Most High? What choice am I making? If I'm not studying, do you really want to take that risk? Do you really want to take that? Do you really want to gamble that way? When it's an open book test, ain't nobody closed the Bible to us. Let me get back into the Word of God and get God's advice, God's counsel, God's way of doing things, so I know that the choice I make is the right choice when it comes to the Most High, when it comes to God. It does say, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of time and strength of salvation, right? That's Isaiah 33 and 6. Whose wisdom am I using to make this choice? Am I really using God's wisdom in the choices that I make that I'm confronted with every single day? For those new listeners, you might be new listening to the show. Real quick, give me let's get Leviticus. I know Deuteronomy 14 has got the dietary law, and Leviticus what? 11. I want the about eating pork. You might be faced with a decision every day. You're starving. You are absolutely starving. Now, in a choice of being in absolutely starving, you're presented with, you can get a salad. I'm going to take it there. You can get a salad, or they have a pepperoni pizza. And the pepperoni happens to be made out of pork. Is that it? Leviticus 11, right?
Yeah, and it's
is it like verse 8, verse 6?
Yeah, 7 right here.
Okay.
Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7. And this line.
Let's start at verse 1 and then jump down. Okay. Well, we're going to read from 1 down anyway.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth.
All right, cool. So we know God, the Creator, created all the everything. He created everything, including all the animals. And that's when they like to show us with the pictures they give us about Adam and Eve and all the different animals or what have you that Adam named everything. Well, when it comes to beast, if you choose to be a meat eater, God is laying it out very clearly, very simple. If you choose to be a meat eater, and you're not sinning if you do, you're not sinning if you don't. But if you choose to eat meat, there are certain animals God created for humans to consume if you decide to be a meat eater. Read.
These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat.
So if you are a meat eater, then the animals that God created to be eaten by humans, consumed by humans, must part the hoof and they must chew the cud. All right? And now he's going to give examples of animals not to eat. God has never really left it up as a mystery. People say, and I never, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I've never read that before in the Bible ever. If God works in mysterious ways, why did he leave us the Bible? If God works in mysterious ways, it's really, there is no mystery. If you read and study, guess what? There's no mystery. There really is no mystery. Let's read on.
Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat.
Among the beasts, if you choose to be a meat eater, that shall ye eat. And that's It has to have a cloven foot, meaning a split hoof, and chew cud. Read.
Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you.
So we're not living in the Middle East where they might have camel burgers. We have to live here in America. But if you happen to go to a Mediterranean restaurant, and they have camel on the menu, and you're starving, well, if you're going to make a choice, you're starving, and camel happens to be on the menu. If you want to make the right choice in the eyes of God, don't choose camel. The Most High did not make the camel to be consumed by humans for meat, for consumption. Go ahead.
But he is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you.
And these are different type of rabbits that are going to be mentioned. Go ahead.
And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he chooseth not to cut. He is unclean to you.
So if you have a choice, again, we're faced with choices daily. Here, God just told us in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, in the 7th verse, not to eat swine. Pepperoni, Italian sausage, Canadian bacon, hot dogs. Because even some of the beef sausage that is made today is in pork casing. So if you have a choice to make, a daily choice, what am I going to eat today? Am I going to get the bacon double cheeseburger? Am I going to get the pepperoni pizza? If you want to make the right choice in the eyes of God, between the salad or the pepperoni pizza, what would be a better choice when it comes to God? The salad. If it became a burger, or a pepperoni pizza, a burger with no bacon. Hell, we just came from Garcia's, a guacamole burger with fries, or a sliced pepperoni pizza. In the eyes of God, which one would be a better choice? Obviously, the hamburger, because the cow is cloven-footed and chews the cud. The swine doesn't. So even in that, you're faced with a choice daily. What are you going to eat? You're starving. You're hungry. You can eat a horse. I don't know how that became a saying of people, but and no, the horse is not a clean animal to eat in the eyes of God. But if you're going to make a choice based on studying and reading the Bible and understanding God, it's so that you're not making an error when it comes to the Most High, even in your menu choices, are you making the right choices when it comes to your menu? Are you making the right choices when it comes to your diet? Just on a basic everyday level, are you making the right choices when it comes to that? So how much more in anything else that goes on in your life? Are you really using the Word of God to make the right choices? So let's say now, again, you get past the, you no longer eat unclean animals. And we could keep reading the rest of this chapter. And if you haven't read it, again, I recommend you do, because it goes into what birds can be eaten, what birds can't be eaten, or fowl. And it goes into seafood. What seafood the guy says is cool to eat, and what seafood is not seafood. And when it comes to humans, when it comes to what God made for us to be able to consume. So every day we're faced with choices. So what choice are you making when it comes to God? And it tells you there's going to be much tribulation. There's going to be much distress of life. You might really be starving. You feel like you're about to go faint. You're about to die. You need to get some food in you. Well, and faced with this dilemma, when faced with this type of distress in your life, this in eating, are you making the right choice when it comes to the Most High, when it comes to God? If you're not studying, you won't know. Just on a dietary level, what other choices is a person faced with every day? And are you making the right choice when it comes to the Most High? If you're not studying, you're never going to know. You're not going to know what's going to be the right choice. Everybody's going to make a choice. You come to that fork in the road, you're going to make a choice. But are you making the right choice in being a student, a follower of Jesus Christ? Last scripture for today, for this show, let's go to St. John chapter 14, verse 6. You have it for me?
Yes, sir. St. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
If without making our choices based on how Christ did things, you're not going to see the Most High. The Most High is not going to be with you. So, again, I want to thank everybody for tune in today. Whether you caught the live show, or you might have caught an archive show on www.blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank Jaleel for coming in and helping me out with the show, being a reader. Got to find out what the hell happened to my son, Azan, why he didn't show up. But thank everybody who did tune in and has been a part of this. Please don't forget to check us out, not just myself or whatever, but check out our YouTube channels, ISBHBK Norfolk, ISBHBK Houston, 5 Minutes of Wisdom. We need you to like, share, and subscribe. We're trying to get the algorithm up. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we're going to say shalom.